Patrimah of the last two shiurim to explore the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud, Daf Yud Aleph, Daf Yud Beis, the source for two of the most fundamental tools in the world of Taras HaSveikas, and Daf Yud, the source of Chazaka de Meikara, and Daf Yud Aleph, Daf Yud Beis, the source for Rov. The source for Chazaka de Meikara is from which parsha in the Torah? For Chazaka de Meikara?
Oh, Tetzaveh?
Mitzorah, good. Mitzorah. In what context? What din? Right, Tzaras Batim, Nige Batim, right? Tzaras in the house, that's the source in Daf Yudam Beis Maseches Chulin for the concept of Chazak Demekar. What's the source for the concept of Rove? That's a somewhat more nuanced answer. Yeah, Shmuel.
Which row first?
Good. Yeah, which row? Good.
So either it's a row that's an open set row. Well, according
to the Havamina, like originally said, we don't have a pasuk for it. And so right. We went through the entire sidya. So Rashi basically says that either we apply from a close set row or a row. And a close set row we have specifically from the pasuk.
Good, very good. Right, so
Ruben the Issa Kaman, a close set row. All the items are in front of us. All we have the Dayanan, and that could direct observation of the row. We have all the 10 butcher shops to make a direct observation of the Rove. Ruby the Issa Kaman, we learn from Acharav Lahatat Parsha Shpatim, exactly. Ruby the Leisa Kaman, open set Rove, where we're really making a probabilistic statement. Halacha is accessing statistics. So how do we know that Halacha values statistics? So that was, as you said, that was all of Daf Yud Aleph and Chulin onto the top of Daf Yud Beis. And when all the dust settles, there are three options. Rabbi Kiva Eger on Daf Yud Beis sends you to Daf Nun, where Rashi says, yeah, we learned it from all those psukim that we mentioned. Etaka are valid rights. Okay. Rashi, Alatar, Rashi on the sugi in Daf Yud Beis, says it's not clear that any of the rights really worked. There was always a kasha on each one. Maybe you could say, Bein HaKol, one of them worked. But Rashi says, or, as Shmuel said, either in a chanami alacha moshu sinai, or, no, let's reject the opening Hanacha. We thought the Rulei Sakaman is a lower level in Ruba de Issa Kaman. You can't have one for the other. No, it's at least as strong. Perhaps even stronger. And that question of within Rove itself, the compare and contrast, thinking about which is stronger, Ruba de Issa Kaman, Ruba de Leisa Kaman, can I infer Ruba de Leisa Kaman from Ruba de Issa Kaman or not? So that question takes on that type of question, that type of thinking, which one is adiv, which one is stronger. So that comes up in terms of Rove and Chazaka. Where is the Gemara discussed whether Rove or Chazaka, which one is stronger? Where in Shas? Yeah? Ezra? Kiddushin. Fantastic. Kiddushin daf pei amid alav. As an aside, if you ever learned Hilchas Yichud inside, anyone here ever learned Hilchas Tzukis of Yichud inside? Not yet. Okay, maybe we'll get to it later this year. Maybe we'll get to it soon. The Yichud begins, Maseches Kiddushin goes to Daf Pei Beis. So the sugyas of Yichud begin with the Mishnah and Daf Pei Amid Beis. Yichud is the last or the second class topic in Seder Nashim. Begin Daf Pei Amid Beis. And Amid before, here we are, Kiddushin Daf Pei Amid Aleph. This is one of the most central discussions in the world of Torah. Let's take a look together. You have a chance to work at Bechavrus. Let's take a look together. The Gemara here, smack in the middle of Kiddushin Peyam, and Aleph quotes the Mishnah in Taharas. Where exactly in Taharas is that Mishnah? Which Perek, which Mishnah? You can tell right away. And you look at the Masoras Hashas. The Beis Masoras Hashas sends you to the side. Taharas, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches. The Rambam points out, as an aside, as a bibliographical footnote, the Rambam points out that it might strike you as a little bit logically funny that a member of the set has the same name as the set. There's a set of mesechtas called Seder Taharas, and one of those 12 mesechtas itself is called Maseches Taharas. That's the way it is? Everyone, why you're going to have such a wrinkle? So one of the mesechtas in Seder Taharas is called Mishnayis Taharas, Maseches Taharas. So here we are, Maseches Taharas, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Ches. You got it? Here, Kiddushin Daf Pei Amid Aleph. you find a toddler or a baby, a toddler, let's say, next to the dough, and a ball of dough in his hands. So let's build out the case. We'll build out the case according to Rashi. Tosis has it somewhat differently. Let's stick to Rashi. So Rashi says, I was making chocolate chip cookies, or hopefully someone far more competent than I is making chocolate chip cookies. It's in the best interest of everyone that someone more competent make the chocolate chip cookies. But someone who knows what they're doing is making chocolate chip cookies, and you have a bowl of dough. You just use your KitchenAid. Now you have a bowl of cookie dough, and you got to run. The adult in the room needs to run out for 5 minutes. You come back 5 minutes later, and let's say you have a family of Kohanim. We should be Zoicha soon to be back to the rules of a Tumah v'Tahara. So Kohanim are particularly makabin and Tumah v'Tahara because you can only eat Truma. Kohanim are permitted to eat Truma, but you can only eat Truma if the Truma is Tameh, if the Truma is Tahar and the person is Tahar. So the Kohanim are being very makabin and the rules of Tumah v'Tahara. You're making chocolate chip cookies for a family of Kohanim, you want to make sure that the cookies remain Tahar. So all the ingredients were tar, the kalim were tar, everything was tar. And you have this bowl of chocolate chip cookie dough, it's tar. The adult in the room runs out for 5 minutes. You come back 5 minutes later, and there's a three-year-old with a mischievous look on his or her face, sitting there with a handful of chocolate chip cookie dough. So Rashi says, well, you put two and two together, what happened while you were gone? Clearly, the kid got the chocolate cookie dough, and that's why he has a handful of it. Everything else is still in the bowl. The problem is, that means that the kid touched the dough. So whatever is in his hand, we're not interested in that probably anyways. How about the rest of the dough that's still in the bowl? It was all one mass of dough that was touched by the toddler as he stuck his hand in. So if the toddler is tahar, the dough is still tahar. If the toddler is tameh, the dough just became tameh. So until 5 minutes ago, this was certified tahar chocolate chip cookie dough. Now we're ready. It's not clear if that's still the case, if it's still tar or not. So what did the Mishnah go on to say? Nachamal, disnam, tinish nimtzav sarisa. Once again, the toddler is found next to the dough, uvatzik biyado, and a bit of dough in his hand. Rabbi Meir metaher v'cham metamin. Rabbi Meir says, don't worry, your chocolate chip cookie, your bowl of dough is still tar. And the Chachamim say, I'm sorry, you're out of luck. I'm sorry, you're out of luck. The dough is tameh. What did you say?
Rabbi Meir holds that it's fine. Wasn't it common for children to touch shrezim?
Very good, very good, very good. Very good. So Chachamim say, now that in the Mishnah, so Rafi's pointed out, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir doesn't explain himself. Rabbi Meir just says, Rabbi Meir matar, he says tar. Chachamim matamin, Chachamim say tamin, mipnei, shadarko shaltinok litapeach. Because it's typical of little kids to touch things. That's the way Rashi translates it. Little kids touch things, like Rafi said. They're going to, back in the old days, they had different conceptions of A, how you store garbage, B, what goes into your garbage, and C, what kids play with. I mean, not sure that C has changed that much. But dead mice were more available back in the old days for kids to play with than they are in our, Baruch Hashem, more hygienic homes. So, right, dead mice. So dead shrotzim, and the most common, but certainly in our part of the world, the most common dead sharetz is a mouse. Baruch Hashem, I was zeicha to live near yeshiva, married for many years. Zeicha to live in yeshiva, dorming single. And Baruch Hashem to live across the street for many years. And I highly recommend living in yeshiva, near yeshiva, even if it comes with occasional practical costs. Baruch Hashem, the spiritual gain of starting your marriage and building your family in the shadow of yeshiva is ein l'shar ve'ein l'tar. Incredible. And Baruch Hashem, over the course of the years, I only had really one or two, the course of 6.5 years living across the street, I think I had only one or two face-to-face encounters with mice, occasional encounters with some other creepy crawlies. Those other creepy crawlies, they're not matame. But the mice, they just have to be taken care of for practical reasons. A dead mouse, a live mouse is not matame. A dead mouse is a sheretz. So if you pick up a dead mouse, if you never touch him, you don't become tummy. But if you touch him, the Sheres Mitam of Maga. So the first mission in Taharis, to Daf Beis in Bava Kama, for those who prefer more Yeshiva Shemar Mekaymus. Be that as it may, Dark Mishotiach L'Tapeach. So the little kid, this three-year-old, right now there was some chocolate chip cookie dough, so he was, of course, happy to help himself to that. But Mistama, over the last little while, most kids get around, and they rummage through the garbage. And back in the old days, you would find dead frogs and dead mice in the garbage. So Mistama, Darker Shaltin L'Tapeach, Mistama, probably, the kid, over the last little while, has found himself a dead sheretz here and there, and therefore, if this three-year-old touched a dead mouse last week, what does that make him? Tamid. The dead mouse is an Ava Tuma, it's a sheretz, and therefore this little child is a Rishonal Tuma, one step removed. He then goes ahead and sticks his hand in the bowl of chocolate chip cookie dough. Hopefully he's washed his hands with soap, or someone washed his hands with soap in between. So the dough is hygienic, but soap and water removes germs. It does not remove tuma. So the child remains in a rishonal tuma unless you take him to mikvah, and therefore the chocolate chip cookie dough becomes shenu l'tuma, right? Two steps removed. So that's what the chachamim say. Chachamim say the kid probably touched a dead sheretz at some point in the recent past, since the last time he went to mikvah, and therefore the kid is probably a rishonal tuma. And now you see he touched a dough, because how else did he get that fistful of chocolate chip cookie dough? So clearly he touched the dough now. He was probably tameh, and therefore the dough is tameh. The chachamim is tameh. So the Mishnah says, the chachamim say the dough is tameh, because most kids rummage around in the garbage and find dead shrutzim. How charming. Okay. So the Gemara points out Rafi's problem, which is the Mishnah explains chachamim, but never explained who?
The mayor.
The Havinan, but we were wondering, my time is the mayor. What did the mayor say? Is this a machlokas over child psychology? Does the mayor hold, is the machlokas mitzias? The mayor thinks, no, most 3-year-olds are very well behaved, and they never speak out of turn, and they never ever rummage through garbage. Really? Is that the machlokas? Unlikely. Machlokas and mitzias is rare. Ramban quotes Yerushalmi in Begir Maseches Chalo. Machlokas and Metzias is rare because why argue about it? Just observe, explore, research, take a look, do the research, and figure out the Metzias is. No reason to argue about the Metzias. So presumably it's not a machlokas over whether Darko Shotin Kutapeach or not. So what are they arguing about? So you have a rov. But the Gemara says, aha! Kasava, Meir holds inside Peyam and Aleph in Masechet Kiddushin. My time is your mayor. What's your mayor think? Why does your mayor say Tahar? How does he ignore Darko Shotinak Litapeyach? Kasava, Rov Tinokos Metapchen, Umiyat Emetapchen. Mayor holds, yes, it's true. Most Tinokos do rummage around. Some don't. It's not 100%, it's 60%, 70%, 80%, 85%. But you have the other 15, 20, 30% that don't. The Isa Becheskes Tahara Medes. He says that the Rove is not the only relevant concept here. You also have a Chazaka in play. Rove tells me that the dough is what? If I asked Rove would tell me what's the status of the dough? Tell it. But there's a Chazaka. The Chazaka tells me the dough is Tahar. How does Chazaka tell me the dough is Tahar? Right, because 5 minutes ago, before he walked out of the room, the dough was tahar. We kept it tahar until we left. Now we don't know what happened. So Chazaka tells me it was tahar before. Assume it's still tahar. Rov tells me it's probably tamei. So Rameyer says you have a rov versus a Chazaka. What do you do? He says smoch miuta la Chazaka israeli ruba. You put together the miut with the put the miut next to the chazaka, literally, and that's going to weaken the rove. So okay, the rove tells me, let's say 75% tells me it's tamei. I have the cheskas tahara that tells me it's tahar, plus and the other 25%, right? Miut emetapkin. You have the 25% of the kids that are not so curious or are not so mobile are not going to move around as much. So I have this concept telling me tamei. I have these two telling me tar. So Meir says, well, ro versus chazaka, chazaka wins because put the chazaka together with the miut. Okay. So Rameir says, Ruba v'chazaka, chazaka wins. And what the Chachamim say? Rabbanan, miyuta kemandalei seidami. Rabbanan say, no, the miyut is as though it doesn't exist. Ignore the miyut. Rabbanan say, ignore the miyut. All you have is Rov versus chazaka. Ruba v'chazaka, here's the key line. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. You have Rov versus chazaka, Rov wins. So again, what emerges from the analysis of the Gemara in Kiddush is analyzing the Mishnah in Taharas. What emerges from the Gemara's analysis is that machlokas hatanaim, whether we say ruba chazaka ruba adif or not. We pass like the Chachamim, the ruba chazaka ruba adif. Rove versus chazaka, rove wins, chazaka loses, and that's why the Mishnah said Chachamim etamin kol darkei shaltig l'tapeach. I, the doe, is a cheskas tara. I don't care. Racham say, I follow the rove. Rove is apparently stronger than in a face-off. Between rove and chazaka, Racham say, rove wins, chazaka loses. And Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says, no, well, it's rove versus chazaka and miut. Sort of like a, sounds like a two-on-one. But every rove has a miut. Well, obviously every rove has a miut, otherwise it will be a vadai. Okay. So you look at this Gemara, and what does it get you thinking? So number one, are many things. And let's pick apart a little bit. Number one, it's worth noticing, before you even get into the guts of the sugya, it's worth noticing, just as an example, the very first thing the Gemara did for us is point out how to find how to recognize inobvious roves. In other words, if I were showing you this Mishnah a few days ago, I said, what halachic concept is here? You wouldn't say, oh, that's a rove. The Gemara, number one, is just showing us there are many, throughout Shas, it's often that there's a rove at play. Even we didn't use the word rove. Darko shaltim betapeach is another way of saying rove tinokos betapeach. That's just, for starters, learn to recognize when there's a rove at play. Learn to recognize when there's a chazaka at play. The mission never said anything about a chazaka, but you're meant to notice there's a cheskas tahara. Cheskas tahara is very often at play in safek tumah. Most of the time, when we say safek tumah reshus harabim, safek otahar, unless you're in a reshus, there's a special exception. If you're in a reshus hayachid, then we tend to be matame sveikos. That's a special gderes. Hakasa based on the parasha of sota. But the normal rule, when you have three or more people, when it's not a secluded situation, when it's not similar to sota, the normal rule is safek tumah b'rishus harabim sveiko tahar, and that's because chazaka. I was tahar. Maybe I became tamei, maybe I didn't. So that's your classic cheskas tahara. I don't know whether I became tamei. I don't know whether you became tamei. I don't know whether the food or the kli became tamei, a safek negia, a safek whether there was contact or some other method of transmission that we made a tamei. So usually we say, cheskas tara. We should have said that here as well. I don't know whether the dough became tamei or tar, cheskas tara. And that indeed is what Rav Meir is saying. That's why Rav Meir didn't have to say much. He said tar. Yes, it's your classic suffix tumah, where there's a cheskas tahara. The chachamim add yes, but here there's a darb shaltein tapech, meaning here there's a rove. And rove overwhelms chazaka according to the chachamim. Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adif. And Ramirez says, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's true that Ruba Adif. I think it's actually true that Chazaka wins. Because smoke miut or the Chazaka. Ramirez says, we pass the night to Chacham. Chacham say, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba Adif. Which is fascinating. We saw two separate issues, Rove and Chazaka independently. Now we're beginning to see how they interact. And as we had said when we were learning Chulin, Daf Yud Beis, right? So the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph and then Rashi Daf Yud Beis gets us thinking about which of these two is stronger, Ruba de Issa Kamon versus Ruba de Leisa Kamon. And now the Gemara in Kiddushin appears to be making that comment about rov in general versus chazak. As an aside, what type of rov is this, by the way? Which type of rov is this? Rublesik comment, right? It's a statistical statement about child psychology. Right? So now the Gemara appears to be saying, a rublesik comment versus chazak, which is stronger? And what's the answer? Which is stronger?
The
Meir says chazak is stronger, and the chacham say rov is stronger. Now, it's worth noticing a nuance or two in the Gemara, which we're not yet ready to fully understand, but let's point it out, and then we'll look at something that's a problem. It's worth noticing that the language of the Gemara in trying to explain why Ruba Adif or Ruba is not Adif is intriguing and a little bit mysterious. Where is it? Why does the mayor say follow Chazaka? Put the meat next to the Chazaka. What does that mean? Put the meat next to the Chazaka. Move from here to here. And more to the point, we pass like the Chachamim. Chachamim say Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. What hesber did the Gemara give for Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif? Why? This is a major principle of halachas. It comes all the time. Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif. Why Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif? Because
the minority doesn't count.
Right, the minority doesn't count on. Mayutik mandalese dummy. Once again, the same problem we had 5 minutes ago. Oh, is it machlokes and metzias? I mean, what? The chum holds it's 100%? It's not 100%. Not 100%. It's 75%. 80%. What do you mean the miut doesn't exist? Of course it exists. What does it mean? What does it mean?
It's not significant.
It's not significant. Why? Is this a machlokes over whether rove is stronger, chazak is stronger? Or is this machlok is about the significance of the miyut? What does it even mean? Is the miyut significant or not significant? The miyut doesn't have a separate life. It's what remains. There's P and one minus P. There's the rov, and then the difference between rov and 100%. But what does it even mean? Is the miyut significant or not significant? That there's no rule of us linam basar miyuta, certainly. There's linam basar ruba. So clearly, the Gemara is saying to Machlokas, Lumaisa, whether Rov is stronger than Chazak or Chazak is stronger than Rov. Clearly. Right? That's the Mishnah. And the Gemara is pointing out that the reason, what's driving Rav Meir and the Chachamim in saying Tara Tame is do you give more weight to the Rov or more weight to the Chazak? Rav Meir gives more weight to the Chazak, and therefore Cheskas Tara carries the day. Tara. And the Chachamim say, no, we give more weight to the Rov. And therefore, Rov carries a day, Tame. But the explanation the Gemara is giving for why is a little bit mysterious. The miut exists, the miut doesn't exist. What does it mean? There's no rule of following a miut. And then, that's a curiosity that needs to be addressed. There's also a kasha. What's the kasha? Not just a little bit of a tzarachian, there's a problem. We pass like the Chachamim. Lamaisa, which one is stronger, Rov or Chazaka? Rov. So Rov is Ruah. In the hierarchy of rules of Taras HaSvekas, of tools for dealing with Safik, Rov is top of the totem pole and Chazaka is we use Chazak when there's no Rov. When there's no Rov, then we use Chazak. Whenever there's a Rov, Chazak, the Chazak steps out of the way. Chazaka, Rov, so to speak, has 10 points. Of power to resolve a suffix, and chazaka is 3 points. If there's nothing else, then use the chazaka. Chazaka is sounds like far sukkah. Chazaka is like a minor league player. If there's no one else, you bring out chazaka, but you have a rove. Okay, we're not 100% sure why. Mutik on lace dummy, whatever that means, we have to figure that one out. But it sounds like rove is solid, strong. Chazaka is, also ran. It's okay. It's okay. Chazak is a jackhammer. And it's like Rove is like the jackhammer. And Chazak is like a handsaw. Rove is okay, Or maybe more to the point, a chainsaw versus a handsaw. If you have a couple little branches fell, you want to cut them up for your bonfire. Okay, so a handsaw will do the trick. But you're kind of like, if you're the guy who's climbing up the tree, and climbing down, there's no tree left, you know what I mean? The arborist who climbs up and cuts off all the branches, goes up, and then as he goes down, he cuts down the trunk. The guys are really efficient, up and down, and the tree is gone. They're not working with handsaws. They're working with a chainsaw. You got to know what you're doing. But so it sounds like, you know, rove with power tools. Chazakazep is, you know, a hand tool. Rove, ooh. Chazakazep, meh. That's what it sounds like, right? We pass another chacham. What Gemara indicates otherwise? What Gemara indicates that chazak is super powerful? What does Pesachim tell you that's so super powerful about chazakah? Well, we'll see the Gemara, but first give me the Nakuda. What's a Nakuda? What point does the Gemara Pesachim Daf Yud? It also happens to be Ksubas Daf Chavzayin. I didn't learn Pesachim last year, so I think this would be a familiar territory. Yeah, Yonatan?
The Suffolk of Tumatara is Lakula.
The Suffolk of Tumatara is Lakula. Good, good, good. You do have examples of being makel, right? The Mishnah, the Gemara and Pesachim and Ksubis quotes the Mishnah later, Masechet Taharas, that gives an example of Chezkas Tahara. Not only Chezkas Tahara, but what's particularly remarkable about the Chezkas Tahara? Kiev.
Even if someone's
certain,
one of the two people
are serving the Tumah.
So
the right. We're using Chezkas Tahara. We'll take a look inside. We're using chazakah in logically contradictory ways. Let's take a look together. It's a remarkably powerful application of chazakah. As a matter of fact, the Gemara refers to this Mishnah. This Mishnah has a name. This is the Shnei Shvilin. The case of the two. What's a shvil? Some of you have worked in it during morning prayer. What's a shvil? A path. This is the Mishnah of the Shnei Shvilin. Take a look here. Pesachim Daf Yud. A voice says six lines from the top. Hainu Shnei Shvilin. We're going to talk a particular case, a suffix in Vidikas Chametz. We'll back up a drop. Let's back up to the third line in Yudamal. This is the test of Yud. The Gemara is a series of different cases of suffix in Vidikas Chametz. And the Gemara goes through trying to figure out how to deal different rules of Torah Sasvekas. How do you deal with this case of suffix? That case of suffix. See here, the Gemara has three lines from the top of Yivir, but Aleph and Mesachas Pesachim. It has the little letter Aleph of the Ein Mishpanei Mitzvah. Sibur Echad Shal Chametz. There's one pile of Chametz. Ulefanu Shnei Batim Bedukim. And there are two houses or two rooms, both of which already got a Bedikas Chametz. The Asa Akbar comes along the house, the Shakal, and he walks off with that cookie. He walks off with that pile of Chametz. And he goes into one of the houses. Lo yadiyinam, you don't know. Ilahayol. Did he go into house number one or did he go into house number two? In other words, both houses had already had a Bedikas Chametz done at 8 o'clock in the evening. Right now they're both Bedukim, there's no Chiyam Bedikas Chametz in either house. Then comes along the mouse at 11 o'clock at night and carries a cookie until we were too far away to see which house he went into. But we know he went into one of the houses. So one of the houses just got a fresh infusion of chametz on Erev Pesach evening at 11 p.m. Who we saw the mouse walking with the cookie into a house. We just couldn't tell which one it was. Maybe. So obviously, how come I ask you now that we could tell he walked in? He went into a house, or maybe went into a room. Let's imagine two rooms. A bite calls me a room. You have a hole at least to two rooms, and he's not in the hallway, so he... We watch, yeah, he scurries down the hallway. So we follow him down the hallway, he's gone. So obviously he went into either room A or room B. So which one of these rooms now has a chiyuv dikas chametz? But which one? The chametz either is in room A or room B. We're not sure which one it is. So the Gemara says, what do you do? The Gemara says, aha, hainu shnei shvilin. This case the Amoraim gave in dikas chametz is really an analog of the famous Mishnah of the Shnei Shvilin. This now we learn to the Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? You look in the Masechet Hashas, the letter Gimel. They tell you it appears in Ksubas also. The Mishnah of Shnei Shvilin is quoted both Pesachim Daf Yud, Ksubas Daf Chav Zayin. It comes from Taharas Parakei Mishnah. Okay, so the previous Mishnah was a Parak Gimel of Taharas, now this is Parakei of Taharas. What's the Mishnah of Shnei Shvilin? Shnei Shvilin Echad Tamei Echad Tara. Two roads. One road is Tamei, one road is Tara. What does it mean that a road is Tamei? Soil doesn't become tamei. What that means is they have two roads. And there's a mace the only way or for a road to be tamei in a way that would make you tamei, normally the things that become tamei are makabel tuma, food, drink, people, kalim. What I mean, the road is tamei. What it means is that there was a rachman litzlan, a person passed away, and they had to bury him across the width of a road. And we're not sure where they buried him, across the width of road number one or road number two. What on earth? How would that happen? So probably just a way to make it somewhat practical. Imagine it was a person passes away, and the Chevra Kadisha prepares to carry him to the Beis HaKvaris, and there's a terrible, terrible blizzard. A terrible, terrible blizzard. And it's becoming dangerous for them to stay outside. If they stay out, if they try to walk all the way to the Beis HaKvaris, they may all perish in the storm. So they have no choice. They just have to make a very hasty kavur right on the spot and run back home to safety. And now, but it was such a, in the fog of the storm, we're not even sure when all the dust settles. They know they were on one of the roads to the Beis HaKvaris, and they had to bury the mace across the width of the road. They had no choice. Pikuach nefesh. But now we're not sure, did they bury him across the width of road A, or did they bury him across the width of road B? Now we're not sure. We know that one of these two paths has a mace buried across its entire width. And if you walk down that road, you end up stepping over, you're at some point on top, directly on top of a kever, and you become tamei. Mace matayim va'ohel. We're not sure which one. So you have this tragic situation. Tragic, confusing. One of the two roads is tamei. And now, okay, that's the background. That's the shnei shvilin. One is tamei, one is tar. And then what happens? So the Mishnah talks about a more complex case where Reuven walks down road one, Shimon walks down road two, and now we have to figure it out. Let's back up for a moment. Let's talk about a simple case. Let's have Shnei Shvilin, and there's only one person. Eventually, they disinter him from the road, and they bury him in the Beis HaKvaris. This situation is not going to last forever. So let's say it only happened once. One person, Reuven, went on road one. Zehu. And he wants to know, I'm not sure, did I just become Tamei or not? What should the din be? What do you say, Yom? Suffolk, and therefore? Right, exactly. Cheskel's Tahar, right? He's Tahar. He doesn't know. It's a Suffolk Naga, Suffolk Lo Naga. We don't, or Suffolk Hail. We don't know whether or not he was Mahil Alameis or not. So Cheskel, we know before he was Tahar, so Cheskel tells me he's still Tahar. Good. But now the Mishnah says, let's make the case more complex. There are two people. Reuven goes to road one, Shimon goes to road two. You'll notice, and the Mishnah adds a twist. Tosis points out, the Mishnah adds a twist. Not only did Reuven go road one and Shimon went on road two, halach bi echad mehen va'asa taharas. A fellow, Reuven walks on road one and subsequently makes tahar food. So Reuven walks on road one, and now we're not sure if he's tahar or tamei. He goes home and Reuven makes chocolate chip cookies. And then b'chaveiro, Shimon comes, halach b'sheni, he walks on road number two, va'asa taharas. And he makes food with tahar ingredients. He makes shakshuka, let's say. And so Reuven walks on road one and makes chocolate chip cookies. Shimon walks on road two and then he goes home and he makes shakshuka with eggs that were tahar, with vegetables that were tahar, with a pan that's tahar. All the ingredients were tahar until Shimon touched them. All the ingredients were tahar until Reuven touched them. Now the question is, are the chocolate chip cookies tahar or tami? Is the shakshuka tahar or tami? So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Machlik Zatanan. Yehuda says, look, if they each ask the Shaila separately, Reuven went to the rabbi on Monday and asked, and Shimon went to the rabbi on Tuesday and asked, so Shnei and Taharin. If they each ask separately, so then Tar, then the cookies are Tar, the shakshuka is Tar, Gival. Shem Vasachas, they both ask together to Mayin. They ask the Shaila together. You're not going to tell them both, you're both Tahar. You have to tell them they're Tamei. And Reb Yossi says no. And by the way, even before we go on to Reb Yossi, Tosa says, Vasachas, you're called to Mayin. Nira Midrabanan. Midrabanan, they're both Tamei if they ask together. What do you mean? The midaraisa afil vasachas tahor. Min haTorah, they're both tahor. If they ask separately, they're both tahor. What does that mean? Fundamentally, they're tahor. If they ask together, they're midrabbanan. We tell them tamei. Why? Because it's going to sound silly. But clearly, one of them walked over the mace. It's not sure whom, but one of the two of them clearly walked over the mace. It's impossible otherwise. So if we're going to tell them both, your chochem cookies are tar and your shakshuka is tar. It sounds absurd. It's going to make people are going to scorn halacha. Chucha v'tlus. It's going to make it into halacha into a joke. It seems so illogical. So midrabanan, if they ask together, we tell them tamei. And min haTorah, fundamentally, they're both tar. Which, by the way, already is strange, because the chorus is not just near a kechuchu v'tlula. It seems illogical. Sounds like indeed it is a lot. It's a good point. They're clearly not both tahar. So at first you think, well, at least it's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "Benkach uvenkach tamei." Does it, even if they come bezach or zed, they also we tell them both tamei. So it sounds as though initially there's a fundamental machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi whether we rely on chazaka b'makom tarti desaser or not. Somehow Rabbi Yehuda is saying chazaka works even though it's illogical, and Rabbi Yossi says not. But it gets more difficult because the Gemara says even Rabbi Yossi agrees to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says it's either Rav, one of the Amarim, either Rav or Rabbi Yochanan said bevachadachas divrei halachot tamim. Everyone agrees that they mamish walk come together. We tell them both tamim. Bezeh chazeh divrei halachot tamim. They come together. If they really come one on Monday, the other one on Tuesday, even Rabbi Yossi says tahar. Lo nechlekel bevol liyishal of vachaveru. The Amarim said Rabbi Yossi when he said tamei, he was talking about the middle case where only one shows up, but he's asking about both shilas. One guy shows up and says, Rabbi, I went and wrote one, made chocolate chip cookies, and my friend Shimon, he went and wrote two and made shakshuka. What's the status of the shakshuka and the chocolate chip cookies? It's sort of like an in-between scenario. Rabbi Yossi medamel levasach. Rabbi Yossi says, look, it's the same as the two of them coming together. It sounds so strange. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he's medamei lelezachazah. He says, they're not walking in together. That's like asking separately. So what emerges, Rabbosai? Fundamentally, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yossi, that fundamentally, they're both tar. Fundamentally, they're both tar. Just that if they show up together, or according to Rabbi Yossi, even somewhat together, it's too confusing. We're going to have to tell them both their tummy. But fundamentally, they're both tar. How are you talking? So two problems. Problem number one is, it seems so illogical. How are you telling them both tar? They're not both tar. Reuben and Shimon, I don't know which one is tummy, but one of them is tummy. It's clear one of them walked over a mace. I can't tell you which one, but I know for sure one of those two people walked over a mace. Which also means either the shakshuka cookies are tamei, or the shakshuka is tamei. I don't know which dish is tamei, but one of those two dishes is tamei. So ma pesher advarim. And as a matter of fact, Tosus goes on to say, the top Tosus, that the reason why the Gemara, the Mishnah, had the shaila about the foods rather than about the people themselves. Why do you have to get involved with the chokshuka and shakshuka? Gets guys excited. Why is it in the Mishnah? So Tos says, oh, because if Reuben and Shimon both touched the water bottle is tameh. Because obviously an Adam tameh touched the water bottle. So what's going on? I don't understand. So we do recognize one of the two of them is tameh. That's why if Reuben and Shimon both made salad together, Reuven and Shimon both touched my water bottle, my water bottle is tamei. Because Reuven touched it and Shimon touched it, the water bottle is vadai tamei. So we recognize that one of them is tamei, but somehow we're telling each of them you're tahar. And min haTorah, we can even tell both of them together, you are both tahar. So let's wrap up for now. Let's encapsulate things, and we're going to have to complete this tomorrow. Let's wrap up where we're at right now. Kiddushin daf pei, ruba v'chazaka, we paskin like the chachamim, ruba adiv. Rove is stronger than chazaka. Chazaka works with no rove. But the chazaka is only the handsaw. Rove is the chainsaw. Rove is really powerful. Rove is 10 points. And chazaka is 3 points. And lidach kisa, all of a sudden you come to psachim daf yud, chazaka is incredibly powerful. Chazaka even works makom tarti the sasre. One of them is tamei. And yet some of Chazaka says they're both tar. Except if they both touch the same thing, then they're tamei. Something is strangely afoot in terms of is Chazaka, how Chazaka, the weak Chazaka all of a sudden is super powerful. If you look at Tosas in Bava Kama, you saw that Svek Sveka, which is perhaps Rove, does not work from Malkum Tar to Sazri. But all of a sudden now Chazaka is stronger than Rove. So that gets us wondering, which one is stronger? It seems like a steer between Kiddushin and Psachim, or between Taharas Paragimel and Taharas Parakeh. And moreover, don't forget that when we were working on Kiddushin Daf Pei, the language in the Gemara itself, with Tzarech Bir, the rationale for why Ruba Chazor Ruba Adif, because Miut Kaman Delei said that. What was it? I mean, argue about the Miut. There's no rule of following Miut, the rule of following Rov, the rule of following Chazaka. Right? It devolved into, well, maybe you add the Miut to the Chazaka, whatever that means, or maybe the Miut doesn't exist, whatever that means. Miut does exist, but it's not a halakhic principle. So Kiddushin Daf Pei itself is Tzarechiyin, Psachim Daf Yud itself is Tzarechiyin, and then put the two together, it seems like it's a stira, where the Rove is stronger than Chazaka, and Chazaka is stronger than Rove. We'll have to figure this, put all the pieces of puzzle of Mir Tshem together tomorrow. Enjoy your lunch, Chevra.